Blog Talk Radio.
Are you ready for more propaganda? Well, you're in the wrong place at the right time. Columbo Chronicles is for critical thinkers. Let's welcome the consumer advocate for justice. Here's the Rose, Rose Columbo.
Everyone, it's the Rose, Rose Columbo, right here for you on Columbo Chronicles and the Justice Club. And, you know, justice is for sale sometimes. Sometimes it's free. So sometimes we discuss those issues because, as we know, justice is expensive no matter which way you go. So today, though, we are not going to go into the Justice Club, but we are going to go into the world of communications on authors and experts in this field. And today we have our returning guest, the dynamic Joyce Alexander Black, who will be discussing critical thinking and communications and how today's world of artificial intelligence in all forms is affecting our brains and our thinking and our mind and our interaction with each other. It is a different world today than it was in the past. And so this is very important because we have to remember human beings need one-on-one communication. They need that feeling that somebody is actually alert, looking at them and listening to them, and appears at least to be somewhat concerned about whatever they're talking about. It could be something fun. It could be something tragic. It could be something that's a hobby or about their family or their friend. It could be about anything. But when we pay attention to somebody, they feel validated. Don't you feel validated when somebody pays attention to what you are saying? So we're going to enter into that world today of critical thinking, communication, and how it affects us as human beings versus artificial intelligence. And so you won't want to miss today's show because everyone needs to be reminded of our humanity, of love, of touching, of thinking for ourselves, of listening to other people's interactions and their thoughts and opinions and facts, and stop attacking each other, thinking that everything that is said, whether it be on social media or on television or in a public place, that it's a hate crime or it's miscommunication or misinformation. Americans have been exercising freedom of speech since no one was telling them that their thoughts and their opinions and their beliefs were hate crimes or hate conduct or misinformation or disinformation. And so we have to wonder, what about the people who are making those accusations or allegations against strangers who visit their websites or write articles? Who's monitoring their freedom of speech? So we're going to get into some of those issues today, and it's going to be fun. So educational, empowering, enlightening. So you won't want to miss today's show. So don't touch that dial because I have a message for the world. My latest book, Obamasaurus, International Irwin Award winner, is not only an Irwin Award winner, it is a political satire with adventure and some funny pictures to put a smile on your face, but it also is an eye-opener. And critics say masterfully crafted, and they say considered for film, as well as will make readers think about our precious humanity.
Obamasaurus, the new book by Rose M. Colombo, is an updated version of a political satire that reflects the political roadmap of today's world. Written with an Orwellian twist, will humanity survive or suffer depopulation or extinction? Obamasaurus by Rose M. Colombo, available at Amazon.com.
That's right. Be sure to get a copy. You can order it from your bookstores, Barnes & Noble, and you can order it at Amazon on Kindle. You can read parts of the book and complimentary from The Rose, and you can also get it in hardcover and paperback. And it makes a great gift, not just for yourself, but for your family, friends, just about of any age where they are concerned about our humanity and what's happening around the world and what did happen to the dinosaurs. And on that note, another little break, because if you are in Benson, Arizona and passing through to Tombstone, or you're going to Tucson, Phoenix, Sierra Vista, or any other site in Arizona, this is at a crossroads. The Horseshoe Cafe is a landmark restaurant, and it has fabulous style of that good old-fashioned home cooking.
Howdy, folks. Just stopped in by my favorite restaurant, the Horseshoe Cafe. I highly recommend the home-cooked hot meals and piping hot coffee. In fact, it reminds me of my mom's home cooking when I was growing up. The customer service is excellent. Be sure to save room for the world's best desserts. Make sure you try a slice of fresh homemade pie. The Horseshoe Cafe is located at 154 East 4th Street in the heart of Benson, Arizona. The Horseshoe Cafe is right outside of Tombstone, Sierra Vista, and Tucson. Sometimes Patty and Mike stop by to welcome you. The staff at the Horseshoe Cafe looks forward to seeing you. Stop by to eat or relax. Cool down in the desert with a cold beer or your favorite cocktail. That's the Horseshoe Cafe. Oh, and don't tell anyone I told you, but some people think it's haunted. One thing is for sure. Be sure to bring your appetite.
The Justice Club is back on Columbo Chronicles Live Podcast. Join Rose Colombo at noon and find out what tips she will provide in a world of little justice.
Columbo Chronicles Live. Columbo is on their trail. Listen up at Columbo Chronicles Live.
Yes, everyone. I hope you're having a great Wednesday. It's hump day and a couple of days away for many of you is TGIF. Thank God it's Friday so you can enjoy your weekend, hopefully. And we want to pray for everyone around the world who is having problems in this challenging time, and pray for everyone, not just some people, but for everyone, so we can bring peace into the world. And that all relates to communication. Without communication, personal communication with leaders who are strong, who stand on the truth of how we need to have peace in the world, and we all need to just get along and help each other, then without communication, this is not possible. And many of our leaders do not have great communication skills because they are so linked into, like the rest of everyone else, including myself, into artificial intelligence for communication and for even figuring out our own thoughts. So let's enter into the world of authors and experts, and let's welcome the fabulous Joyce Alexander Black, MA, and say welcome. Hi, Joyce. How are you doing today?
Hi, Rose. Great. Thank you so much. And how are you doing?
I'm doing fine. I just really am always busy, 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 because I don't know what happened, but it appears that life gets busier in these days when we have so much advanced technology that it appears to keep us busier than in the past when we didn't have it. Or is that just my personal opinion? What do you think, Joyce?
No, I agree with you. I remember a time when I went with my nephew to a very nice, like, log cabin in a place called Cambria and also in California. There's a little town that's really nice, and a lot of people don't know about it. And he looked at the phone, and I asked him if he could call downstairs to get towels or something. And he's like, I don't know how to use this phone. And I said, what do you mean? He goes, where's the buttons? And I said, there's no buttons. It's a circle, you know, 1-8-1-8. He goes, oh my God, I've never seen anything like it. And it reminded me, like, wow, you really have no idea how to use that. It was fascinating. So for me, I remember a time before we all had pager. I mean, before the cell phones, for anyone very young watching or listening, there was something called a pager, which I'm sure you know of, but that was it. And phones didn't have the capabilities they did today, actually just rang. Then there was a process of text messaging. Then after that, and so as we evolved, there was no quiet time. And it's interesting you say that, because I do stress management, and one of the things that come up a lot is that quiet time. See, there in the old days, I mean really old days, you see old movies, men, let's say, would go to work, and on their way home, they would have quiet time before they see the wife and the kids. Then women started to work, and at the same time, they would have that quiet time. It's processing time. What happened? Who was nice? Who was rude at work? What needs to be done tomorrow? That, let's say, half an hour is essential. And what happens today is people come, there is no time. So when they get off work, they're usually on their cell phone, or as they say in your mobile, and all the time they're texting or they're calling, okay, this is what I need you to pick up the grocery stores and blah, 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 blah. And there is no process time. It's essential. This is how our brain gets through things. And then people are taking so much medication, all these things that happen because we don't give that quiet time. My husband likes to call it white spaces. It's really important, because when we go too fast, it's not helpful for us or anyone else. And yet, this is what's expected. So it's a balance. But, you know, it's like there's a saying I have, no one's in charge of your life or your time besides you. And an emergency on their part does not constitute an emergency on yours unless you make it so. So a lot of times people will just create, say, you know, I have to do this. Will you do this? Will you come here? And it's like, you get to say, okay, this is important, but it's not an emergency. How can I deal with this so I can be present for this person and still take care of myself? And I think that it's interesting you say that, because that really goes into boundaries. But before we do that, I just want to say a little bit about me. And that's, my name's Joyce Alexander Black. My website is joycealexanderblack.com, and I have several different recordings, some on stress management, children's, and bereavement, and other type of recordings. And one of the things that I find is really important is just to kind of talk about, like, people need to hear where my credentials are. So I have a master's in clinical psychology. I've worked in Paramount Studios, NBC, Disney, MCA before, when it was MCA, Children's YMCA and Children's Hospital, doing a lot of work to help people with stress and help them get through things, and foster cares, you know, doing therapy and a whole bunch of things that really help, as well as hypnotherapy and coaching. And one of the things that I was thinking about is this critical thinking skills. But in order to have critical thinking skills, you really have to think about your self-esteem. So for example, if you have somebody, and let's just talk a basic thing, if you have somebody who says to you, I don't like your shoes. So very simply, are you in a good mood? Are you coming from a place of being positive about yourself? Is your self-esteem high? Do you have gratitude? Are you working on your self-esteem? Or are you feeling lousy today? If someone says, I don't like your shoes, it's all relative. You know, how are you going to take that? Are you going to say, you know, that's your opinion? You don't even have to say something, but in your mind, you can just say, I need to go. I need to take care of myself. And a lot of things that happen in life really comes down to boundaries. When somebody says something and you're not comfortable with it, you don't have to stay in that conversation. If you don't know how to get out, you can always say, I need to go to the bathroom. But don't stay if someone's attacking you or you're feeling attacked, because really, you know, it's more about how you feel, whether they're doing it or not. And when it comes to like building your confidence, and it's really important because, you know, if you don't question assumptions, you don't challenge your own or others, then you're just, I mean, there's no other way to say this. You're being a victim in life. You're not being the creator. And you deserve to be your creator. Nobody else gets to take that from you unless you give it to them. So let's talk about these shoes, because that's very generic. Have you ever been spoken to, Rose, where somebody said, I didn't like your shoes, and you felt bad or something like that? And then another time where you just laughed it off because you were in a good mood.
Well, of course, you know, it depended on what was happening in my own life. When I was younger, it would have been an insult to me and I would have been upset. But as I got older, I learned to laugh it off and not even care about what they like about what I wear. I don't really care. My daughters do too, because speaking of shoes, my daughter wanted to wear these red high heels. And she goes, oh, do you think, you know, they'll be too much because people don't really dress up today, you know, and stuff. And I go, you know what? You are young once, and you're that beautiful in your youth. And that's only going to happen, you know, the specific time of your life. And I said, but go through life thinking young and being beautiful and wear whatever you want and do not care what other people think. Shine, hold your head up high,
you are,
and be happy.
You are a wonderful mother. That is amazing. You know, women were not given those messages long time ago. For some reason, it's really crazy. And what you just said to your daughter, please, everybody out there, just write that down if you're a mother or you know a mother who may not be doing that, and have them listen to what Rose just said. That is amazing. That's beautiful.
Well, it actually led to her surprising me with a beautiful, beautiful story about the red shoes. It's just a short story, but it's absolutely beautiful. And it just touched my heart that moment actually meant something really important to her and gave her that confidence. And now she does wear whatever she wants to wear.
I love that. I love that. You know, I remember my sister telling me not that long ago, which was to my surprise, that if a woman wore red nail polish or red lipstick, they were considered a prostitute. And so certain men from an older generation would have a hard time seeing women that they loved with red nail polish or red lipstick because they were from that era. And it was, let's say, 125 years ago, I think. I don't know. Maybe it's less. But it, for someone who's in their 20s, that seems like way long time ago. But someone who's not can say that's really relatively not that long ago. And for a mother to give a daughter permission, I mean, it sounds so ridiculous, but not just permission, but approval and acceptance. It's like you've just given her the breath of life and the ability to do life her way. And you also taught her about questioning assumptions. So when you don't have the ability to question assumptions, you then wind up in a life where you just follow, again, victim. You're not the creator. And so in a simple way, it's two choices. In every part of life, when you feel you're stuck or somebody's putting you down, you can stay in that place and you can stay in the same non-reactive way as a victim, or you could, let's say, go to the bathroom, go take a walk, take a break, calm your nervous system down, and then talk from a place of strength. Talk from a place of being your own boss, your own person, and discuss options of how we're going to deal with this. And that is all about critical thinking skills. I mean, in the last 5 years, we've had a lot of things happen in our world. And I love how you said, pray for, like, everyone, let's pray for peace, because that's what we need. And it's like, to also pray for people to not listen to what is being told, but use critical thinking skills. And I was thinking about this and like, how do you create good critical thinking skills? And it says, like, seek diverse sources of information. Okay, I love that. If somebody says something to you and they say, this is how it is. Like, somebody said to me that there's a certain car service that's not right to use for their reasons. They had a whole story about it. This happened in Los Angeles all the time. So I said, okay, I'm going to look this up. What, you don't believe me? I said, it's not that I don't believe you. I hear what you're saying. I believe that you believe it's true. Please don't, you know, be upset with me, but I need to make sure that this is true. So I looked it up. I spoke with my brother, who then had, I guess he found some more research on it. And he said, yes, it did happen in Los Angeles. One time the man was fired. That showed that they took care of it. That doesn't mean you don't use that entire car. That's like saying, I'm not going to go to Ralph's because one person was rude who worked there, but he was fired. So it's not like he's still working there. You know what I'm saying? So always look for diverse sources of information. If someone tells you something, the news, anything, doesn't mean it's true. Look for opposing information. Look, if somebody tells you not to wear red shoes, why not? People don't wear them anymore. Okay. Is that true or not true? Does that matter to who I am? Like, question. Start those questions. And you can even make a pro and con list on things. And analyze, evaluate, create arguments with yourself. Question yourself on things that are important to you. Because if you don't question you, how can you question anyone else? And I know
one of the things that I wanted to explain before we get too far down the road here is that why I said pray for world peace for everybody is because,
yes,
I believe that you can block out the noise and the news and all the opposition, who's doing what, who's doing, because that's going to keep going. It always has kept going, and it escalates, and it actually stresses people out who are listening to it, and then they get confused. Well, who is right? Who is wrong? Well, basically, when you are hating on people and you don't even know them and they're strangers from other countries and you never even got to know each other or help each other or communicate with each other, which we're talking about communication today, and you don't have to have leaders anymore who know how to communicate with each other's leaders, so these things don't escalate and the victims are always the people, not the leaders of these wars. And so the point I was making was just put it in a higher power's hands, pray for everybody so that some type of peace flows back into, and love and kindness flows back into the universe, because our thoughts are also communication, because our thoughts are who we are. And so we have to put the positivity into the world and block out what the negativity that is happening and all the hate being pushed against each side or opposition, let's say, that it's that out. And yeah, start thinking positive, right?
Yeah, it's a time where we really have to start looking at our, like, how we think, because, like, communication is important and critical thinking skills. Because, see, when a person, let's say, listens to one news channel or they believe one group, it's not critical thinking. It's following. Being a leader is listening to both sides. Like, for example, I do couples therapy. Do you know what would happen if I just listened to the husband and not the wife? Do you know what would happen if I listened to the wife and not the husband? Do you think I'd get the whole story here? You know, it's like so many times what happens in couples therapy, and I remember this going in grad school, and the professor says, you know, when you talk to one at a time, this is what will happen. Even if your mouth doesn't open, you will be thinking, oh my gosh, I can't believe this happened. And then you go hear the other side and you're like, oh, well, that's not what he said. That's why she did that. Oh, well, he missed that part out. And then you go back and forth. That's why some therapists do not have separate times with each one, because it's too confusing. It's much easier. Everyone knows what's said when it's said. So in any case, it's that kind of thing of life. I remember saying this to someone just last week. You have to have critical thinking skills, and it's developed. You don't just learn it. Most people were not brought up like that. I happen to have had a father who always made me question things, and it helped. It was a little bit annoying at the time, but it really helped me think things through. And like what happened with this person who told me about this car service. The other person in the conversation goes, oh, really? And I said, well, I just need to find out if it's true. What a difference. She's already ready not to ever use this car service. It's all bad for all these reasons. It wasn't true. Yes, it did happen one time in Los Angeles. Man was fired. And that's what happens. You listen to one news, everything is geared to how what their advertisers are paying and who promotes them. If you listen to all different sources and make sure you listen to what the opposing side listens to, then you can get a critical thinking and just kind of look at it like a marriage. So if you just hear one side, you'll think they're the worst. If you only hear the other side, you'll think they're the worst. It's hearing both sides. So, and, you know, we can talk a little bit about, like, how does somebody become a victim? Because, you know, one time I remember being in London, and in London they have this, they call lines queues. So there was a whole line to go to the bathroom, probably call it a whole queue. And all these women are standing there. So I just walked right by them and I opened the door. No one was in this one bathroom. So I went, and this woman said, I can't believe you would just cut me off. I said, you thought no one was in there, right? Yeah. So you're going to get in there much quicker now that I found out there isn't anyone. But the point is, people tend to follow. There was like 10 women just standing there with one empty bathroom, and no one even bothered to look. And I think that's just symbolic to how we kind of live. Well, live like we follow instead of leading. And I know you're a leader, because I can tell with all the books you write and everything you do, you're really, you know, very strong in helping people find and use their critical thinking skills. And you embrace curiosity, which is important.
Well, I truly, truly have walked through a lot of trials and tribulations. And so I base my critical thinking on what I personally have experienced, researched, and I've interviewed hundreds of people around the country who have been victims of injustices and consulted with them so they can become survivors and move on, which is what I had to do. And I had to do it in order to help other people. If I don't stand on my truth, I have nothing. I am not a critical thinker. I am fearful, and I am not a leader. So in order to be a leader, you have to have courage. You have to stand on the front lines, and you have to do what you have to do in order to gain the knowledge and to become a survivor when injustices come unexpectedly against you. And so I believe that important information that I gained through my years is important to share with fellow Americans and the world, because anyone can become victimized, whether it's through a communication and words, and their self-esteem can go plummeting down, and whether it's the color of their skin, whatever it is hurtful. And looks are even a form of communication. And size, and when somebody's trying to tell you something, look what I did, you know, I'm so happy, I'm so excited, and you go, yeah, right, you know, well, look at you made a mistake here. Well, you know, that person's looking for a pat on the back, you know, to say, I worked really hard, or a kid, or whoever. And some people, you know, don't want to give that pat on the back to other people or even children for whatever reason, maybe their own insecurity and their own failures in life. So I try to uplift people with knowledge. And one of the things I wanted to say, Joyce, is that I like text for emergency. You know, I'll be late, I'm on my way. But some people use text for mean messages. And the other issue is sarcasm. People don't know whether it's they're being sarcastic or trying to be funny or it's a rude comment. So what do you think about that? Because it can cause a rise in, you know, misunderstandings or feelings in relationships, just texting.
Oh, yeah. Oh, definitely. I mean, there's no question. I mean, and you bring up this whole thing about jokes. I mean, I had this long conversation with somebody who gets up every week and gives a couple jokes. And he has told me that he always offends someone. And it's not like he just takes it. He gives a lot of time to figuring out the best. Then he meets with a friend. There's a whole process he goes through, which is very admirable. And yet he still offends because people, he said the only way, he goes, if I make a blonde joke, blondes are offended. I said, are they still offended? I'm a blonde. I don't know if I would be offended by that, but I could see if someone's feeling insecure, that could be a thing. And how about a joke about people at certain ages or weight? And he's like, so where can you make a joke? And there's very, very little room for today's jokes. And there is something to be said about that. There's also something to be said about what used to be funny is putting someone down, which is not. So there's a whole bunch of things and regarding text, you can really offend someone. However, one of the things that I think I have found is when I do two texts back and forth, if I'm not getting across to the person, I'll just say, can we pick up a phone and chat? And that just kind of helps a little bit because sometimes it could get really difficult. And what I was thinking about, like what you're saying also, and problem-solving skills, which I think is like thinking about critical thinking skills, I think it has to start with feeling you're worth it, that you don't have to listen to what someone tells you what to do. Like that if they say your shoes, they don't like your shoes, it's really just their opinion and it doesn't have to affect your day or anything. But if you're not feeling confident or if you're not feeling sense of self or you had a disagreement with someone or a parent, you could be walking around a little wounded and then it really just throws your whole day. So I was thinking about practicing problem solving, like engaging in activities like puzzles. Puzzles are really good. Brain teasers, also really good. And even like question yourself with life challenges. Think about somebody in your life that you're close to and you see how they handled a certain situation. How did it work out? How did it not work out? And like what you're saying, it reminded me of a story I heard where this woman singer, quite famous, not going to mention names, it's not necessary, but this little girl was like admiring her and she came over to her and she made a fuss of her. She's like, you're so beautiful, your dress, and just took like 30 seconds and her whole life changed. And it made me start to think about how many opportunities do we have in life? We go to the grocery store, we go here, we go there. And why not just throw out 10 compliments a day and how many lives we can change? And when you give, you get. And it's the same thing like you shouldn't do it for that reason, but when you give charity, it comes back. Not that you should do it again for that reason. When you give compliments, it comes back. And you shouldn't do it for that reason. But how you develop your ability to think creatively, analyze situations, make informed decisions, all is based upon how you think. How do you allow yourself to live in the world? You know, and if you're feeling bad because someone, let's say, insulted your shoes, be conscious of that. Wow, I'm being really sensitive. I think I might need to go meditate. I think I might need to just kind of journal, figure out what's going on with me, see a therapist. That's not how I want to live in this world. I want to be in full power. And it's just noticing, give yourself like evidence to say, well, you know, you're entitled to not have good days. You're entitled to feel bad. But you can also choose to say, all right, but I don't need to do it that long. And now that I know, I can flip it too. Does that make sense?
Yes. Yes, it does. And you also reminded me of it was a long time ago, but maybe 10 or 15 years ago, I went to a health convention, a big one over in Los Angeles. I used to go to a lot of those. And I was at a different booth. There was a lot of booths. And I looked over, and apparently this young man was about 6 foot tall, had been in a fire, and his face was, you know, how when your face is burned, what it looks like. And and the father was there with him, and they were selling different kinds of stones, you know, raw stones, like just different beautiful stones. And nobody was at that table. I mean, there's thousands of people there. Nobody was at that table. Well, something in my spirit said, go over and look at those stones and talk to that young man, basically, is what my instinct was. So I did, and I said, hi. And I go, you know what? These stones, I caught my eye, and they're so beautiful. I said, can you tell me about them? Because I don't know anything about stones, but I really love these beautiful stones. And so he was so excited. And I mean, super. I'll never forget this one as I live. He was so excited. And he was explaining all the different stones to me. Oh. And I look over and his dad looks at me and smiles. Oh. And I knew at that moment, you know, he was so happy, you know, that somebody actually went over there and was actually talking to his son. And actually what happened is more people start coming to the booth. So it always takes someone to do something. When you see something that deserves to be treated, you know, as everybody else, and they are out in the public and they are needing the same attention as everybody else who's there selling their wares. And so I will never forget that, because that was just such a great feeling to bring more people to that booth. And people just start talking to him, you know, like, it's like color of skin. Once you get to start talking to people and you engage with them, you don't remember the color. You're not thinking about the color of their skin or what they look like or what they're wearing, right?
Exactly. Yeah, and it's so important. And it's like, you know, I think the idea is also reflect on one's own biases. Because, look, I remember when I was in grad school and we were studying about prejudices, and we all have prejudice we don't always have awareness of it. And that's where it makes a difference. And my two professors. One was an African-American man and one was a white woman. And she said, I was brought up Jewish. I married a black man. I have four children with him and I'm prejudiced. Let's start class. And I was like, whoa. And she, and of course, how are you prejudiced? She goes, because I was brought up in a white family. So in the 60s, so I was brought up with prejudice. However, I chose to be aware of it and make different choices. But when you deny your truth, you're afraid to speak it and you're afraid to think it. And that I really have to thank my grad school for, because they really made it so people can have conversations about anything, that nothing's off the table. And some people were lucky enough to be raised in a family where that was the case. Most people were not. And then you have to, I was not. And then you have to learn, how can, what am I feeling? What am I thinking? And when you can reflect on your own biases, then you can try to approach issues with an open mind. You know, you could recognize that everyone has biases, you know, and how to actively work on getting over them. And that's what defines, again, a creator to a follower. There's so many people who just follow people and believe people. And I'm not putting them down, because at certain times we're all that as well. And it's just kind of allowing yourself to say, well, where's my evidence base on this thinking? And so much judgment we make on people. My gosh. You know, I remember I heard a story. What's that guy who owns, who doesn't currently own, but used to own Virgin? I forgot his name for a second. Do you remember his name? Remember his name? The guy who started Virgin Airlines?
No.
Okay, I forgot his name, but I remember I was in Liverpool and someone said, oh my gosh, we thought that guy was homeless. Because he's wearing jeans and you know, the way he only owns, you know, Virgin Atlantic and, you know, the train and all these other things. And, you know, and look how we make these judgments on people. And he was like security ready to, and he's following this guy as if he's a homeless man. And I just thought that was hysterical, because we do. We make judgments all the time. Do we question ourselves, though?
We do, because when I worked for a national skincare company at one time, everybody would know the name, but I won't say it. I worked for several of them, actually. And this one woman came into a high-powered store, and then I happened to be there that day, and these the beauty professionals were not paying attention to her, because she was wearing jeans and a shirt and like sweatshirt and looked a little bit gruffy, and they were not paying attention to her because she wasn't dressed like their customers. And so I went up to her, of course, and I said, hi, and welcome. I said, have a seat. Let me tell you about these wonderful skincare products that we're, you know, and let me give you some samples and blah, 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 blah. And so I said, what are your needs? What are you looking for? You know, and I can help you. Believe me, I can. I was a professional in the beauty industry for a license for 25 years. And
nice.
So, yeah. And so, and so, anyway, I helped her, and you know that, and I made her feel important. I think you should make people feel important. I don't care what they're wearing. And
yes.
So do you know that she turned out, she bought hundreds of dollars worth of products that day.
Wow.
And do you know that she turned out to be one of the best customers, and she, of that particular line. And she happened to be a scientist, and so did her husband. And they had agricultural farm, and so she had been working in the agriculture farm, she told me, and she just needed to run out and get some skincare, and she didn't have time to change and clean up because she had to get back. So she was like on her break, she took a break. And so that's someone who was not only wealthy enough to buy these expensive products, but she also looked scruffy. But being kind to her and paying attention to her and treating her like a human being, as if she's very special and important, which to me she was, and turned out to be one of the best customers. That's what happens. You're judging a book by its cover.
It's true. And I thought of the name of the man, Richard Branson. So,
oh, yeah.
He's the guy who started Virgin. And so, he's not somebody who gets dressed up in a suit that much. You know, he reminds me of somebody like flip-flops and jeans and a, scruffy shirt. So here's a judgment on this guy's homeless? No, I don't think so. Here's this woman, and we make judgments all the time. And it's like, even on, well, this person's always late, or this person's this way. And there is some truth in some of that, because if you are around someone who's always late and you don't notice that, or then, I mean, you do tend to then, have resentment, and it affects, the other person's life. But at the same time, there's ways to do it in any aspect to say, well, I'm judging this person. They have shown up late several times, and they probably will do it again. And instead of just having resentment, I need to have a conversation. I need to have boundaries. Then you don't have to have the judgment. For example, you can say, I need to just say to you, you have every right to be as late as you want, because you get to do you however you want. It's your life. It affects me because my time is valuable, and it feels like you're not respecting my time. So if we can make an agreement, if we're going to meet somewhere, I'd like you to show up 10 minutes earlier and text me when you're there. And after a few times, I'll have confidence that things will go in a fair way. Would that work for you? And then you negotiate and you find something that works for both of you. And if it continues to happen, you can make other choices. And this is what happens all the time. And sometimes people have been in our lives for a long time, and we outgrow them. And we expect them to grow with us. And we don't have to judge that. It's not like someone's better. They're just in different places. And I think it's important that we all just realize that when we judge another person, we're playing God, and that's not our job, because we don't know what that person needs to do. And I remember hearing a story where there was this little boy, and he went to some service in a church or synagogue. I really don't know for sure. And he didn't know, maybe it was a different country, and I don't know, he didn't know the words, maybe he was disabled, I'm not sure. But what I do know is he screamed, and it was like the height of that service, and everyone looked at him like, how dare you? And the person who's like the head of this service said, stop everyone, that's the one who just reached God. And it just was like, wow. And here everyone has judgment. You're not allowed to scream. I'm not saying people should go and scream, right? But what I'm saying is sometimes people get that like really profound sense that they just need to do something like scream. And maybe that's the person that reaches God. I don't know. How could we know? But that person, there's many people who do things and we don't know. Like, I remember a time I was in Santa Monica Beach, and I was like 16 years old, and my brother's looking at me and he's screaming at me and using curse words. And I'm like, why are you talking to me like that? And he's just like blank and run. And it's like, what? And then I realized there was a quarter stick of dynamite. It was 4th of July, and it was coming right at me and my friend, and I pushed us down. But sometimes, you know, it's like, it's how you censor things. There's lots of different people who may just stay there and get mad at him and have an argument and then got the quarter stick of dynamite in them. You know what I'm saying? So we just can't play God. We don't know why people do things when they do things. We can't change anyone but ourselves. And the way to have critical thinking skills is to build your self-esteem. Well, start with know your boundaries, work on boundaries, work on self-esteem, work on gratitude, give compliments to people like 10 a day, do charity work and give charity. Do things that will bring your positive energy up. And when you live on a higher vibration, then you create people around you who want to celebrate you. And like what you said to your daughter, celebrating her, you know, making her feel so loved and special, like this famous artist did for this little girl. That's what we need. We need to bring that in the world, getting that light. Light eliminates darkness. If you have darkness and you turn on the light, you don't see the darkness anymore.
I did want to say, though, that you brought up the white female professor who married, who grew up in a time when most people were prejudiced in America, and there was segregation and all that. But I do want to mention, though, that that applies to whether you're black and the son is black and he brings home a white girl. Sometimes the black parents are thinking, this isn't going to work. This is, you know, and they're, you know, so, or it could be a Hispanic, or it could be Asian, or it could be anything. I mean, I think those same feelings go across the board. That can happen as far as prejudice and bias goes, not only because they're interracial or they're ethnic.
I'm sorry.
Ethnicity isn't the same, but it's not always because of prejudice. They don't like the person, right? It could be because their fear of society and the grandchildren.
Right, and I totally agree with you. I just wanted to say, I'm so glad you said that, because I forgot the part that she said, which was when she went to family gatherings and she was the only white person, she was met with a lot of anger from other women and saying, why did you take one of our brothers type thing. So when there's not one side, there's always two sides. Again, going back to a marriage, you know, you just listen to one couple, you have a bad marriage, you listen to both, you go, okay, you both have issues, but that's what always happens. And then you kind of work through it, hopefully. But the point is that there is so much prejudice in in every group. And you'll never get anyone who says, okay, it's one-sided. It's always both, even if it's not with that same group. You're so right to say that thing.
And that goes back to our topic of communication and why one-on-one civil communication and debate is important rather than argument, and like we're experiencing around the world today. And you know, I'm right, you're wrong, I'm right. You know, nobody wins in those cases. And that's why, you know, I think texting should be limited to simple things versus important things that could interfere with a relationship. Because there's no tone in a text. And you're like, well, what did they mean by that? Why did they send me that photo? What's that mean? You know, it's happened to me where I'm like, and then they'll say, well, I thought it was funny. Oh, okay. You know, all right. But I, you know, when I looked at it, you know, and so I think it happens to a lot of people, you know, like, well, what does that mean? And so I think it goes back to communication.
Yeah, and funny, I always say jokes are when the person that you're or group of people or race or religion find it funny, then it's a joke. If they find it an insult, then it's an insult. And sometimes you'll say, you'll get like one person in that religion or race going, oh, well, I thought it was funny. Okay, but let's talk to 10 people. What's the consensus? Okay, 9 says it's not, 1 doesn't count. I mean, it's like 1 like is not fair. But the whole idea is to try to get to a place where we understand communication, critical thinking skills, our boundaries, you know, and if there's, and I just wanted to say that I have this recording on iTunes on stress management for adults as well as kids. And if anyone wants to go to it, just go to Joyce Alexander Black and put it into iTunes and you'll find it there, as well as my website, joycealexanderblack.com. And, you know, there's so many different ways to build your self-esteem. And I just think that we live in a time where so much is accessible on the computer. There's different like 12-step programs that people can go to, and Al-Anon. They have great, great support groups all over the world, and pretty much, I mean, several times a week. And it helps people to be around other people to start feeling safe to engage, because what I've also seen a lot of, and a lot of parents have told me, that having children through COVID has made them less, they're more home. They're not social. Their social skills haven't quite developed like others. And there's going to be lots of problems that come from that, but how to take that on and say, okay, yes, there was COVID. Yes, your kid was home. Yes, people were home. So then get out. Do start joining groups. Like, push yourself. Like, if you like tennis, go play tennis. If you like, you know, knitting, whatever it is that you like, put yourself more into social groups, which then will help you in communication, which then will help you in critical thinking. You know, question everything.
Exactly. And unfortunately, we've run out of time again, because it always goes very fast. And
always.
So give your websites again so the audience can know how to get in touch with you and buy your audio.
Sure. iTunes, just put my name in, Joyce Alexander Black. I believe also on Amazon. And my website is joycealexanderblack.com. So thank you so much for having me, Rose, and I look forward to seeing you next, or speaking with you next, and wish you and the world love, peace, and let's just put in lots of positivity, make it a deal, everyone give 10 compliments a day to people. Let's just bring more light and more joy into the world.
Beautiful. Thank you so much, Joyce, and we'll talk again soon.
Thank you for everything you do.
Oh, you're welcome. And you too. Bye-bye. And Joyce Alexander Black, MA, has left the building, so be sure to go to her website and see more about her. And also get her Audibles. They're wonderful. And be sure to get a copy of Obamasaurus, The Legend of How the Judeo-Christian Dinosaur Nation Was Depopulated Paper Extinction. And remember, injustices can happen to you and they can happen to me, but together we can make a positive difference. Remember, you are never alone when you tune in to Columbo Chronicles and the Justice Club. God bless you and God bless everyone around the world.
Obamasaurus, the new book by Rose M. Colombo, is an updated version of a political satire that reflects the political roadmap of today's world. Written with an Orwellian twist, will humanity survive or suffer depopulation or extinction? Obamasaurus by Rose M. Colombo, available at Amazon.com.
Well, my friends, time flies. And now is the time to say goodbye. Thanks so much for being part of the Columbo Chronicles family. You are appreciated. please do it now. Bookmark. Push that like, share, and follow button. Oh, and don't forget to comment below and stay in touch. Make your family part of the Columbo family. Until next Wednesday at noon, remember, God loves you, and so does the Rose.